Hi, my name is Amy Lucumbell, and this is a project that I did during my master's at ASU called Food Plus Living Well. I have no relationships to disclose. And I'd just like to thank my project advisor, Joan Dodson, at the Arizona State University, Dana Goodlow, the Nutrition Network Program Manager at the Arizona Department of Health Services, and the staff at St. Mary's Food Bank Knight Center. It was approved by the IRB. Okay, so in Arizona, there's over 1.2 million people age 60 and older, and this number is rapidly increasing, specifically in Arizona. By about 2030, 1 in 4 people will be over the age of 60. This represents an increase of about 20% of the population to about 28% of the population. And within that population, 14% of the people are living below 130% of the federal poverty level. So throughout my presentation, I'll be discussing this 14% of the population. Of note, when I first started looking into nutritional needs of lower-income elderly adults, and there's been no primary data collected on their behavioral and nutritional health practices in Arizona. So I conducted a small, just quick and dirty needs assessment using available data from the American Community Survey and the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, and I found that over 75% do not consume the recommended 5 or more servings of fruits and vegetables a day. Over 66% report weights and heights that are calculated in the overweight or obese range, and about 25% receives food stamps, thus suggesting the risk for food insecurity. So this suggests that there is a need for nutritional interventions, and perhaps this could be addressed using nutritional education. So the purpose of my study was to determine if a targeted educational program would improve the nutritional knowledge among low-income elderly adults. And it was set in Phoenix, Arizona at the St. Mary's Food Bank Knight Center. The Knight Center is one of the largest food banks in Phoenix, Arizona. It's a nonprofit organization and last year served over 74 million pounds of food. Importantly, it's also a distribution center for the Commodity Supplemental Food Supply Program through the federal government and is also called CSFP. As a requirement to be part of the CSFP program, you have to be living under 130% of the federal poverty level and above 60, so this provided a good, convenient sample to access that population. CSFP members go to the Knight Center once a month to pick up food boxes, so that's where the convenient sample was obtained for this study. Exclusion criteria included non-English speakers, just to my inability to communicate effectively in any other language than English. Clients were recruited using these flyers, their calendars, and they also have a little program schedule. They were back-to-back, so these flyers were put out 4 weeks prior to the beginning of the intervention in the waiting area of St. Mary's, so clients could just pick one up. I also attended St. Mary's once per week for the 4 consecutive weeks leading up to the intervention and handed out flyers and had some face-to-face contact and asked people to attend. So the intervention itself was called Food Plus Living Well, and CSFP at St. Mary's is known as Food Plus, so this was done to try and help recruit those people, let them know this is for you, and get them, you know, just they're familiar with that terminology. The classes themselves, we had 5 classes total. Each one was an hour long, and they're offered every other Tuesday over a 10-week time period. So when we were talking to clients and recruiting them to come, we said, you know, just try and come on a Tuesday, and then you can stay after you pick up your food box and stay for this education. The information used during the classes was a modified version of the education materials obtained from the Elder Nutrition and Food Safety Program from the University of Florida. And these materials have already been proven successful in various other settings, not in a food bank setting, however. And each lesson featured unique health topics, like getting more water, increasing your fluid, discussing what the my plate is, complex carbohydrates, stuff like that. And each class was unique and non-consecutive, so you didn't have to come to the first one to get something out of the second, third, fourth. We also featured healthy recipes that would go along with the discussion topic of the day and some handouts, tips, reminders for them to take home with them if they wanted. So here's the results. It was kind of varied. Upon being approached with a flyer for Food Plus Living Well, there was a lot of positive response in terms of interest in new recipes specifically, also interest in a new social opportunity, not specifically about nutrition, but just interest in being involved and talking to other people. It'd be nice to have another human to talk to, somebody said. And then a lot of people were excited that it was right there at St. Mary's, so they didn't have to go somewhere else to get the nutrition education. On the flip side, there was some negative feedback. Some people just said, it's hard for me to get to St. Mary's in general. I don't know if I'm going to be here on a Tuesday. My friend drives me. I can't count on that. And I was speaking too fast to some of them, and a lot of people just took the flyer and walked away and didn't say anything. So after the five sessions had been implemented, the five education sessions, this was some common qualitative feedback I obtained. Overall, there was an overwhelming response for requests for more recipes, like low-cost, healthy, fast, and easy recipes. Many of them enjoyed a seasonal chart that was provided. It was just a growing season of the Arizona fruit and vegetables. And they typically reported actually not learning a whole lot of information, but they said, yeah, it was okay. I learned a few tips here and there. And they did enjoy meeting in a separate area where it was quieter with less people, as opposed to the waiting area of St. Mary's, where it was louder, there was children running around. So in general, there was a trend of decreasing attendance as the week progressed. Overall, over 5 weeks, we had very low attendance. I think there were 6 people that came to the first class, and by the last class, we didn't have anybody coming. And I'll discuss why that was later on. And surprisingly to me, participants consistently demonstrated significant knowledge of healthy eating prior to attending the program or class. So, you know, they weren't getting as much information as I had hoped. They were already coming with a wealth of information. So, in general, the study suggests that a food bank-based voluntary nutrition education program is not the most efficient way to provide nutritional knowledge to this target population. And factors to consider in this is, first and foremost, the self-selection bias. Clients who are already interested in nutrition would most likely be participating in healthy nutritional activities already, and thus they'd be interested in coming to a nutritional education program. So those are the ones that came with this wealth of information. However, clients that perhaps were not as interested in nutrition would not be voluntarily coming to this nutrition program and likely not participating in perhaps healthier behaviors. So it is very possible that this type of class, this voluntary type of class, missed the portion of the population that was likely to benefit the most from the information provided. We also had a large dependence on the food bank client numbers for class participation because it was a convenient sample and we were counting on clients coming to the food bank and then staying for an additional session. There is a general trend of decreasing attendance at St. Mary's as the weather warms up, and this was during that time. So as the heat came on, people stopped coming to the food bank, and then when that happened, less people were able to come to the class. And finally, there was a large dependence on St. Mary's staff members and volunteers for program promotion and information. And because this was just a very small program, there was no formal education or training to the all the volunteers. There was a wealth of volunteers at St. Mary's or the staff. And there was no tools in place to ensure that program promotion was occurring. So it is very possible that somebody came to the food bank, wanted to know more about this Food Plus Living Well program, and they might have run into somebody who wasn't able to provide them with information, thus they would just leave and not come to the class. So despite the theoretical failure of my program, I did take away a lot of information from it, and I think it'll be very useful in future programs. First, voluntary food bank based nutrition programs will most likely suffer from a self-selection bias. Thus, future programs may want to consider making it mandatory or bringing materials to a captive audience, perhaps when they're sitting in the waiting room, so that we eliminate that voluntary aspect of it and eliminate the self-selection bias that may occur. Target audience did express the most interest in new healthy recipes and tips for cooking on a budget. So we did discuss the possibility that future programs may want to consider a cooking demonstration aspect or perhaps a recipe exchange club. There have been a few studies done in the recent past where a food tasting demonstration was a viable method of increasing awareness and participation. So if there's some incentive there, people, you know, really like the hands-on aspect of it. Convenience and proximity are huge factors in participation. Even the requirement to walk across the street may decrease participation pretty significantly. And then establishing buy-in from the program and site location is essential to the program's success and sustainability, and that's an area where this program did not was not as effective. You know, establishing buy-in will ensure that your program is being promoted, you have adequate access to time and space and materials needed for program success. So finally, the implications. Again, strongly suggest that a more comprehensive nutritional and behavioral assessment is required to inform future nutrition education programs. Again, to date, no primary data has been collected from the elderly low-income population in Arizona, so that would help to inform how to effectively communicate health information to them. And we must find creative ways to reach those in the community who are not interested in learning about nutrition. And finally, the basic needs assessment that was done at the beginning of this program does imply and support the need for future programs. And that's it. Any questions? Oh, that's right. Later. Okay. Thank you.